Hey everybody, it's Michael here, and welcome to the Goody Reader Radio Show. Welcome back, everybody, to the Goody Reader Radio Show. My name is Michael. It's February the 16th, 2011. There's a lot of news, as always, in the e-reader, digital publishing, ebook world, and we're going to give you the rundown of some of the news that's happened over the course of the last 24 hours that you probably want to know about. First of all, if you're looking for a tablet, one of our more favorite tablets that are low in cost, but actually you get a big bang for your buck. It's the SkyPad Alpha 2. I have one in my hands right now because we reviewed it not too long ago. It's on sale at Groupon, and this is just in the US for $125, and regularly it's anywhere from $199 to $299. It's Android 2.3. It has a speaker. It has micro SD to increase the memory. You can charge it up via the USB. It actually has an HDMI out, which I find pretty cool, as well as a mic, but built-in webcam. It feels durable. Like, it doesn't... a lot of tablets, you know, that you might get for a really low price, and I'm talking about, like, the Augen line, I'm talking about, like, PanDigital, a lot of their stuff feels rather flimsy. A lot of e-readers are guilty of this, too. This actually feels like a higher-end device. I use it mainly as a developer tool, but if you just want to watch movies, read e-books, listen to music, or all of the above, this is a good tablet. So if you want to get something that normally costs a bit more money, check out the SkyPad Alpha 2 on Groupon. We have an article on it on the front page. It pretty well gives you our video review as well as just a breakdown on all the specs. So this is what I recommend to you. Speaking of tablets, the Kobo Vox is now available at Best Buy, and this pretty well makes up for the lack of the tablet being available at Borders since it went bankrupt. Really, you cannot really get the Kobo Vox anywhere in the States. Target had the Kobo Touch Special Offers Edition, which was the company's answer to the Amazon Kindle Special Offers Edition. Special offers just mainly means that it's a subsidized e-reader because on the home screen and the screensaver, they serve you advertisements. And so you could normally save anywhere between like $30 and $35 on the model. So Kobo has made an agreement with Best Buy, so you'll be able to buy it in the stores, you'll be able to buy it online, and you'll be able to actually test it out before you actually buy it. And that's something that people in the U.S. haven't been able to do so. So most people at Kobo and Best Buy are pretty happy with this. It finally gives Kobo a vehicle in the USA to not only carry the Vox, but to carry eventually their other e-readers in a store. The Vox pretty well has Kobo Pulse going for it, which we've talked about before. It's a social media hub. Gives you access to talking with people in real time. You rate books, see how many other people are reading the book at the same time. It's actually pretty cool. And the Vox, more or less pretty subpar. It's $199. The Nook tablet and the Kindle Fire blow it away because they're dual core processors, whereas the Vox only has a single core 800 megahertz processor. So if you have a bit of patience and you sort of want an alternative to Amazon and Barnes & Noble, Kobo is pretty well the best thing that you can get buying a tablet directly from a company that distributes ebooks, a lot of digital content, and is pretty big in the social media sphere. So $199, Kobo Vox, most Best Buy locations in the States, starting soon. Metro locations obviously will get it first, and then it'll filter down to the regional locations. Ictaco has formed a relationship with AMSCO, and AMSCO is a school publishing company. They do a lot of textbooks, science, math, linguistics, phonics, and a whole lot more. And this is the exact relationship that Ictaco needed. Normally, they're not as big in North America as they are in Europe. They have released about eight different e-readers over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. They have dictionaries in almost every major language, as well as Bibles and other content that you can buy directly through them. They don't really do a whole lot of reselling with that sort of thing. If you've known about the JetBook Color, this is the latest color e-ink reader to hit the market. Incidentally, you can get it at shopeereaders.com. If you want to look at videos and purchase it, it's on par price-wise with exactly Ictaco's offering, but it ships within Canada, so it's pretty easy to get international treatment. With JetBook, the one thing that they had going for themselves all these years was their software side of things. They would develop a lot of custom apps. With the JetBook K12 and the JetBook Color, they pretty well are marketed strictly at the educational ecosystem. So both devices have set preparation courses, a lot in math, spelling, applications, anything from like grade 1 to grade 12, they have content tailored for each sort of milestone or program that you're enrolled in. The one thing that they didn't have was the actual content, which is ebooks and textbooks. And so this is what the relationship with AMSCO gives them. It gives them the ability to finally be able to sell ebooks directly on their devices. Most of them all have Wi-Fi, so they can connect up to the internet. They just didn't have anything to really connect to. So this is a way that a lot of titles are going to be available. And incidentally, Ictaco is making inroads in New York State. They're with the New York educational system on a few pilot projects, and they're pretty well testing the feasibility of the JetBook Color in a classroom. And depending on how that goes, they might get awarded contracts. They may get distributed to other states. We all know Florida. We did an interview with the governor of Florida about his digital publishing initiative. into that state, and three other states are pretty well committed to getting their classrooms more digital. If you think about it, schools often have outdated textbooks. They cost a lot of money. So if the school pays, say, like $80 for a math book, they would only pay, say, $12 to $15 to $20 for the digital version. And when new versions of it, the digital version, come out, it's often cheaper to upgrade than it is to upgrade tangible books and then get rid of them and so on. And don't forget, kids love to deface books too. So, you know, every semester kids are losing books, they're drawing in them and so on. With the digital book, it's pretty easy to just buy them and distribute them to the students. If they lose their device or whatever, they could still access it on their PC. No really word yet on when it's going to be, this partnership's going to be available, but they did a press release and pretty well laid down exactly what was happening for them. Speaking of ebook companies, book publishers have closed two of the world's largest ebook pirate websites. It was pretty well a huge coalition of U.S. publishers and the Association of American Publishers. A lot of people such as HarperCollins, John Wiley & Sons, McGraw-Hill, Oxford University Press, Pearson Education, they all banded together to shut down Library.new and iFileIt, which they were served court orders in the last 24 hours in Ireland, where they're located. Both sites combined had over 600,000 ebooks, and they were raking in about $10 million a year in membership subscription fees, as well as Google serving them ads and different campaigns that they had in order to generate revenue for their site. It was a long-spanning investigation. These guys did a pretty good job at covering their tracks. They were everywhere from Germany, Spain, Ireland, Malaysia, and so on. So it was pretty hard to track all this, but with a lot of these big publishing companies and a big sting operation, they were managed to shut them down. And so you could pretty well see this happening a little bit more. These guys all banded together, shut down these two sites. Obviously, all of their people are talking with each other. It's only a matter of time before they focus on other companies and they take them down one by one. This is definitely good for independent authors that whenever people pirate their books, they aren't getting paid. And a lot of people actually quite famously go on Twitter rant saying that they're giving up writing because more people are pirating the book than buying the book, and they're not able to just generate the type of return that they're looking for devoting their life to writing when more people are pirating their books or none. And, you know, you could see why this is why, say, the Big Six didn't participate in this, because digital content doesn't really account for too much of their bottom line. But when you look at, say, John Wiley and Sons, a lot of their For Idiots or For This or That, they generate a lot of revenue for the company. Same with HarperCollins. They have a lot of digital imprints. And so it makes sense that these companies band together. So it's a good move for the industry, and it strikes a blow towards a lot of rampant piracy, at least in Europe. I guess they're going after the big boys first, and then they'll start filtering down the food chain. If you're a fan of ebook lending like we are, we've been talking about the last few days on the Goody Reader Radio Show about Overdrive. Of course, they facilitate ebook lending in public libraries, and they have just revised their Overdrive Help, which is basically their section to answer. You can think of it as an FAQ, or you can think of it as a way that they basically answered questions, gave essential guides, and so on. They spent a good few months revitalizing it before they put it live. They worked with about 200 different pilot libraries that were, you know, participating in it. Of 93%, all libraries polled said the new help section was an improvement over the existing design and also an improvement on the old fax system. The new system is actually pretty cool. It breaks it down e-reader by e-reader. So if you have a Kindle, if you have a Sony, if you have a Nook, if you have a Kobo, they list about 12 to 15 different e-readers with like step-by-step guides of, you know, at which stage do you plug your e-reader into your computer? How do you log into Overdrive via the web or via the Overdrive Media Console, which is their Android application, but they also have iOS and other platforms too. So with Overdrive now having this new help section, it really takes a lot of the pressure off of the small local library that, let's face it, in, you know, small town America, small town Canada, a lot of the people who work at the library aren't really too tech savvy. Most of the times they're retired or they are a little bit older and, you know, they don't wrap their heads really around all these new confounded gadgets, as it were. I mean, some of them do, but the majority don't. So having this dedicated section, it could say, okay, you have a Kindle. Here, read this, you know? But a lot of the staff at libraries are trained where if you are going in there for the first time and you want to borrow some ebooks, most of the time you can just pass your e-reader to the staff member and they can assist you with it. So the Overdrive Help Council is mainly done for online type people. It's help.overdrive.com if you want to check it out. And there's a lot of cool interactive content in there as well. There was a study that came out today saying the BlackBerry Playbook owns 15% of the Canadian tablet market. Obviously, the Apple iPad leads, but 15% is not too bad. You can still get it for $199 at Best Buy, Future Shop, and a number of locations. It's been out for about a year, and I mean, it's still pretty relevant. It's a 7-inch tablet. It's extremely portable, but I mean, it has HDMI out, great audio speakers. The screen itself is very vibrant. There's a high density of pixels. The resolution does well. You can watch movies and everything like that. One of the drawbacks is that it didn't have a native email client, no calendar, and a lot of features were missing, but that's going to be all resolved about the next week when the new BlackBerry OS 2.0 update comes out. If you have, speaking of tablets, I'm going to give you some quick tablet news that's hit the market. If you have an Asus Transformer, the original one, it's going to get an ice cream sandwich update sometime in the next 3 weeks. Asus published on their Facebook page that they were going to do it. So good news for that. We've done a great article on iStoryTime, which is one of our favorite companies. They basically put out enhanced ebooks exclusively, dedicated apps, mainly geared at kids. They put out a new Smurfs book. And, you know, if you've never heard of this company, they've done things like Kung Fu Panda 2, Madagascar 3, Five Little Pumpkins, and so on. And they're doing a series of Smurfs classics now. It's an in-app purchase of $2.99. You can get it from the iBookstore, and it comes out, it came out today. So if you're a fan of the Smurfs like I am, it's kind of cool to be able to you know, live the nostalgia of our youth. I grew up with Smurfs, and so I might give this app a try. If you have kids, this might be kind of a cool app to do. There was a Smurfs movie that was in theaters not too long ago, and it did really well, all things considering. So I'm down with the Smurfs, iStoryTime. You maybe want to check that out. So at Goody Reader, we're going to be putting out a new program soon, and I'm kind of excited about it. We're going to profile authors. A lot of the times we do every week, and so this is most times, we do an ebook of the week, and we profile an author, we give you some quotes, we give you a little bit of history and introspective and author, where they're at, what was the premise of the book, what kind of got them writing, and so on. And so we're going to start a pilot feature where we profile authors. So we're going to have a dedicated page, so it'll be goodyreader.com/blog/profiles, and in the near future, we're going to have headshots, biography, authors to be able to list their books where they are for sale, and we're going to add a new one every week, sometimes every day, and this is a great way for indie authors and mainstream authors alike to get a little bit of recognition. Of course, with our ebook of the week partners, you're going to get some front page treatment, and of course, this is all free. You know, we're just glad to help the indie author community, and we're going to try to do our best to allow authors to create and make their own profiles. But in the interim, if you want to post your biography on our website. You can send me an email to michael@goodyreader.com and include a headshot, include a 500 word or less biography, and we'll get you on there as one of our first entries into the Goody Reader author bio club. So that's something that we're kind of working on right now. There's been a lot of app updates recently. You have Adobe Flash that has been updated today, and it got updated for an exclusive ice cream sandwich version, and then all other versions you can get it. We just updated both versions on our app store, and again, this is goodyreader.com/apps. Smashwords is an indie publishing company, and we've talked a lot about them in the past. We've actually had a number of interviews with Mark Coker, who's the founder of Smashwords. We've interviewed him and a lot of his crew at Book Expo America, Digital Book World, and a lot of other publishing events that we cover for our news. And they have surpassed 100,000 books that are published within their own ecosystem. If you haven't heard Smashwords, they're pretty cool. They allow you to submit your book in EPUB or other formats. They have great formatting guides. The neat thing about them is that they give you an ISBN number for free, and they give you the ability for them to submit your book for free to iBooks, Sony Books, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon. And a lot of the times, if you submitted to Amazon directly, or if you submitted it directly through Barnes & Noble Pubit, which are the company's self-publishing programs, you actually can't give a book away for free. You can only give it for as little as like 1 cent to 99 cents, where Smashwords, if you flag your book as free, there are actually free downloads within all the other like Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and other companies which normally don't allow you to submit books directly to them for free. So if you want to do free books, check out Smashwords. They have a huge and very vibrant community. So if you are aspiring to, if you have a book written already, or if you're in a process of writing one and you're just doing it in, you know, Word, Microsoft Word, or Evernote, or whatever type of word processing tool that you're using, there's a lot of kind of cool guides that teach you how to do table of contents, how to add cover art, how to format it correctly so it looks good on a Kindle, looks good on tablets, and so on. They make it really easy, so you want to maybe check out Smashwords out. Now, here's a few quick stories from the publishing world. Open Road Publishing has acquired a new VP. It's Tina Pullman, and she will lead Open Road's editorial department and acquisition of new titles, as well as the expansion into new business areas. She'll start on the 5th of March and will report directly to the CEO and founder, Jane Friedman. Over the past month, publishers appointed several editorial staff members, and they've done things like hiring a strategic advisor to sci-fi and fantasy, as well as editorial directors for focusing on e-originals and select backlist titles. So Open Road is on the hiring wagon right now. They're really bolstering their internal staff members and trying to diversify their business a little bit. We've talked about Penguin and how their move to remove ebooks from OverDrive is creating an outrage. There is an O'Reilly Tools for Change concert conference in New York right now. We missed that one because we're actually flying to San Francisco at the end of the month to interview the CEO of E-Ink to talk about how the company's experienced their first dramatic step back, if you will, and this kind of plays with the libraries looking at Penguin's move as a step back, you know, for publishing and ebook lending with libraries in general. But we're going to interview the CEO of E-Ink. We're going to talk about what they have up their sleeves for 2012, a successor to E-Ink Triton, which is what the JetBook Color uses, and their relationship with Freescale and a bunch of other kind of cool things. So towards the end of the month, you won't want to miss that. But at the O'Reilly's Tools for Change conference in New York, the Internet Archive's Peter Brantley, who moderated the Library Alternative, asserted that many libraries are really angry about publishers moving backward. If publishers want to target Overdrive because of Amazon, then libraries are happy to have an alternative supplier. But the one thing that they're not willing to be is collateral damage for media conglomerates. So Overdrive's kind of playing the role of the victim here because a lot of the big six are pulling out their books of it. Penguin's move sparked controversy, but with Simon & Schuster, Macmillan, and Hachette already withholding ebooks from library loan and Harper setting a 26 ebook checkout limit, the topic has been building towards fireworks for quite some time. So at the O'Reilly Tools for Change concert, there's a lot of division in the ranks. A lot of people are basically, you know, blaming Amazon and Barnes & Noble for colluding together to get publishers to stop lending books out to the library for free, because for every ebook that's given away for free through the public library, that's an ebook that's going to be remain unsold on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and the other big e-tailers, which means that the companies themselves, the publishing companies, are getting less return because a library is buying a book once and just keep on giving it away. Whereas 30 people borrow it and they're looking at it as those 30 people are customers lost. So if you may have noticed with the Giddy Reader Radio Show, we've been doing more editions of the show lately. And we pretty well are going to continue doing the show. We got a pretty nice setup here as far as audio quality goes. And so we've definitely put the time and money to upgrading our setup. And this pretty well gives you all of the daily news as well as some of the news that we're publishing for later on today. And then, you know, we can sort of hype our new services and bring to people's attention kind of the cool things that we're working on behind the scenes. With Goody Reader, you know, I've always made it a huge point being the editor of the blog and, you know, doing reviews and stuff like that, is I don't want to stay stagnant. And that's sort of like a life philosophy where if you kind of remain complacent and stagnant, for me, it's sort of like I need challenges. I need to constantly be doing new things as well as paying attention to the other things that are important in life. But yeah, I mean, being a little bit of versatile, being a little bit of innovative, that's sort of the mantra of the company. And I think all of our writers and behind the scenes staff do a really good job with everything too. So with the Goody Reader Radio Show and doing it a little bit more often, we can kind of give you a little bit more introspective on, you know, where we're coming from, covering these stories sometimes, some cool things that we're working on and so on. So we're going to kind of cover stories going forward that maybe we haven't written about on our blog. And a lot of them are sort of in additions to the story, especially when we go to conferences and do a lot of interviews, a lot of stuff doesn't kind of make the actual story. And this is one of the reasons why listening to the show every day now is going to be a boon for people. Wrapping up the show, there's a few kind of cool things happening in the world of tech. NVIDIA is going to be releasing quad-core super phones. So these are smartphones that are going to come out that will not just have dual core processors, but will have quad core processors. And so you can think of when the Samsung S3 comes out and the successor of the Google Nexus, they're going to have some kind of cool features with the ability to have quad core system on a chip CPUs, you know, better graphics, you'll be able to do a lot of kind of cool things with it. So that's about it, guys, for this edition of the Giddy Reader Radio Show. Keep on checking our blog for all of the daily news, and I will talk to you later. For Giddy Reader, my name is Michael, and everybody take care.